from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
On March 3rd, EWTN launched EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, the first ever weekly television program dedicated exclusively to the pro-life cause. The show's whole focus is on building a culture of life. Welcome to Register Radio. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and I'm joined by my co-host, Register Senior Editor Matthew Bunsen. This week on Register Radio, we talk with Catherine Zeltner, the host of this new and exciting program. The show is a collaborative effort with the Susan B. Anthony List, which is a group that works toward electing pro-life politicians. But Catherine comes from a very different background, right, Matthew?
She does. This is someone who worked for EWTN News Nightly for 3 years and comes from a cradle Catholic family. And her own mom made some really important decisions when she was in college. So Catherine comes at it both from the journalist side, but also from a devout pro-life Catholic side. Catherine, you are, of course, a Catholic journalist. You're a broadcaster. In that sense, then, of being both a Catholic and a journalist, what does it mean to you professionally and personally to be the main voice now for a pro-life program on EWTN?
I think, you know, professionally speaking, there is no more important cause to be dedicate an entire program to. There's no more important cause, and I think that's why the network saw the value in starting this. So I also know that there's no room for mediocrity here. And I know professionally I will be giving just my absolute best and just pouring my heart. And, you know, when there's a mission behind your work, I think there's all the more desired motivation to work even harder. So professionally, that's, you know, how I view it. And there is this, as a Catholic, you know, this responsibility to speak up the truth. And at EWTN, that's what we do here. So, you know, I think all journalists want, you know, that's their desire, to speak the truth and to broadcast the truth. Here we can do that, and it's complete, you know, it's in its entity shaped and informed by our Catholic faith. I also professionally, you know, recognize that I'm having this opportunity earlier on in my career, and I am extremely humbled by that. And I also just think it's kind of wonderful, though, that the network recognizes that the pro-life movement is young. You know, millennials do refer to them, are referred to as the pro-life generation. So I think it's humbling. It is overwhelming at times professionally, but I'm really excited about that. And just on a personal note, so humbling. And it's one that's, the pro-life cause has one that's been close to my heart for many years. And, you know, people have been asking me a lot lately, well, when did you begin to be pro-life? And so I've been spending a lot of time thinking and meditating on that. And I don't think there's really been kind of a start time, you know, a hard start time. It's just kind of my whole life has been shaped in that lens. And I dedicate that really to my mother. She had my sister when she was 19 years old in college. My sister, whom I love, who is biracial as well, so my mother did not get a lot of support from a lot of family and friends, had to work very hard. And now she's the CFO of an international corporation. So it's just to witness up close a woman who, you know, says yes to life, works hard. I think that's an empowering message, and it's an empowering message that needs to be shared. And I feel very passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you raise in the question about your own background. Mm. How did you go from a family like that, clearly solid in the faith, solid in life, to working for EWTN? I mean, that there's an obvious line there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic. Always, you know, grew up in that faith. I am so grateful both my parents are so committed to the faith, and EWTN has always really been in the backdrop of my home. Grew up watching Mother Angelica, vivid memories, sitting on the couch next to my mother and my grandmother watching Mother. There was this show on the network probably about 15 years ago called Onward Pilgrims. And my sister was actually on it. She was one of the cast members. So she got to travel to all these pilgrim sites in Europe. So it's always been kind of in the fabric of my life, this network. And it's funny. I can even remember it was around when I was in about fifth grade when Mother Angelica had that stroke that ultimately took her off the air. And I remember my mother just saying, you need to pray for Mother Angelica, you know, and me bringing that back to the fifth grade class and saying, we need to pray for Mother Angelica. And so it's really been an honor to work at this network that I care for. And it came about just, you know, crazily. I think a lot of college seniors go through a quarter life crisis, and I was certainly going through that, not really sure what I wanted to do. But then I finally had my plan. I was going to work in marketing in Brooklyn. And then 2 weeks before I graduated, a friend suggested I apply for EWTN News Nightly, a new program the network was about to launch in DC. So I applied, and, you know, praise be to God, I got the job and I landed here. And it was one of those moments where, wow, like I get to combine, you know, my Catholic faith and my passion for broadcast television. This is incredible. And I think it was probably one of those rare moments in life when you feel confidently that God wants you somewhere. Kind of felt like he was nudging me, like, see, I got you. You're supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. And EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Now, it's obviously a very powerful pro-life voice on a network that is renowned for its commitment to life, to the culture of life, mm-hmm. to all things, the sanctity of the human person. It seems at first blush, then, that a whole show just dedicated to the pro-life movement, why would you want to do that? And yet there's a really big logical step, isn't it, to put this show on?
Right. You know, one thing I keep hearing from people is, how has this show not existed before? And I think the show really came about because there is a need, a growing need, to preach and share and shape the culture of life to our culture that is increasingly becoming more of a culture of death. And you can see that in more subtle ways. You can see that in more obvious ways. But just looking how really the bookends of life, you know, from conception until natural death are being attacked with abortion and assisted suicide. So there's a need to, you know, educate our viewers and inform them and build up this culture of life that St. John Paul II so often preached about.
Yeah, and that totality of from conception to mm-hmm. natural death, when mm-hmm. you were first having those discussions about a pro-life show, was that part of that discussion?
Crucial, absolutely. Because, you know, as Catholics, we do view this holistically. And we know that, you know, our desire to defend the unborn comes from the recognition that each and every life has immeasurable value, each and every life. So the unborn, who are the most defenseless, the most vulnerable, and need our greatest attention. But same with the elderly who is in a nursing home, same with the homeless on the street, same with people with special needs, each and every life is immeasurable. So this is the whole gambit from start to finish.
Yeah. And so you're working at News Nightly,
mm-hmm. yep.
enjoying yourself in right. well, maybe not always enjoying yourself, but working
so,
in D.C. can be a challenge.
Lots of hustle and bustle, right?
D.C. can be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And have you found that living here, working here, in what is such a political environment filled with such power,
yeah,
because you would have encountered it every day, what was that like? And what... How did that prepare you for what you're now doing?
I am such a nerd for the news and staying just up to date and like needing to know the latest. And a lot of people in DC are that same way. So always, you know, being informed and being passionate. But I'd say, you know, kind of the biggest transition has been just learning to think more critically and analytically and ask questions and be more skeptical and be more a little bit more analytical and hopefully not in a, you know, a jarred kind of way, but just in a wanting to seek the truth.
Mm-hmm. And in this town, yes, there's a lot of ego, as you say, but mm-hmm. there's also a surprisingly strong Catholic community.
Absolutely.
But also resources that, as somebody on News Nightly, you were able to bring in and encounter on a daily basis. So looking at it from that standpoint, how has your faith life developed, mm-hmm. Matured, just in the time that you've been here?
Because I did grow up in a home with such faithful parents, praise be to God, always grew up having faith and right. not really questioning that. But coming to D.C., really having the access to great minds and great theologians such as yourself, mm-hmm. you know, truly, and being able to just ask questions and learn more and examine it, and then being able to tie my faith not just to emotion, but to knowledge mm-hmm. and to facts and to see how, you know, our faith goes hand in hand with science and reason, and that just has bolstered it. And you're absolutely right. The young adult Catholic community up here in D.C. is just phenomenal, both in the Diocese of Arlington and in the Archdiocese of Washington. There's always something to do. And so to really – it's been a gift and a pretty natural transition to just kind of find a Catholic community. And when you surround yourself with people who are so passionate about what you are as well, it's easier to feel at home.
And this in no way disparages Catholics and movements all across the country, but D.C. is home to the headquarters of so many pro-life
yes.
organizations.
Yes.
Part of your job with News Nightly, I know, was to reach out to network for guests and but just resources.
Right.
That raises the immediate question then of who's involved with news with this new EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Right. So one group that we're working very closely with and so excited to is the Susan B. Anthony List. I know when I was at EWTN News Nightly, we turned to them and the network still turns to them. Just such a great resource. They really are kind of the experts and can break down what is happening on Capitol Hill when it comes to pro-life legislation. Because here's this group that they help to elect pro-life leaders. So they're with these pro-life heavy hitters from the very beginning. They have these close ties and relationships. So they're in the know. So to work with them is a great opportunity for the network and for our viewers so that we can help kind of bridge that gap between what's going on in Capitol Hill and bring that to our viewers at home.
Plus to have resources of someone like Marjorie Dannenfelser,
yes.
who's such an articulate spokesperson for life.
Absolutely. And a Catholic convert herself. And I know we've talked about this as well. She just approaches the pro-life movement with such optimism and hope, mm-hmm. which is great. And just always forward thinking and forward looking and, you know, what can we do next? And I think that's such a gift.
The idea of hope is one that many in the pro-life community did not have in great abundance heading into the election last year.
That's right.
And then, of course, there was the rather surprising results of November 9th with the election, of course, of Donald Trump as president.
Yeah.
Looking at this new administration, both as a journalist but also now as somebody who's in charge of a pro-life weekly show, what are some of your hopes and aspirations for this administration?
You know, yeah, entering in, when the show is being developed, I couldn't help but assume, okay, it's going to be under, you know, President, if it's under President Clinton, this will be the most pro-abortion candidate. And I think the program would have taken on a different tone.
Right.
Now we're dealing with a president who's really a convert to the pro-life cause. And he's, you know, learning and growing, but really surrounding himself with great pro-life leaders. I mean, especially I look at Vice President Mike Pence and Counselor Kellyanne Conway, who are very much at home in the pro-life movement. So, you know, you look at his campaign and how he made, as a candidate, unprecedented pro-life promises. He laid out 4 pro-life promises, and he knew that he needed to do that in order to persuade the pro-life movement. We've already seen him follow through on one of those and nominating Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, so we'll see if he's, you know, actually confirmed. So early on in this administration, I think we owe it to our president to see, okay, you gave us these promises. You did, you know, you did sign the Mexico City policy in your first week. You've nominated Judge Gorsuch. Give him the benefit of the doubt, but closely follow. And because we have on record these pro-life promises, we can hold him accountable to that. And we absolutely are going to do that.
So just having to readjust to an unexpected occupant of the White House.
Yes.
That's been one of your challenges.
Yeah.
What have been some of the major ones that you've already encountered in just trying to put a show like this together?
You know, one thing, when I was with News Nightly, really, I covered a broad range of topics. I was probably most passionate about the pro-life topic in particular, but there's a lot of different things you have to be kind of an expert on that day. Now, having a program solely dedicated to the pro-life cause, these past few months just learning up and gearing up and getting caught up on so much that there is everything from the legal side to the history of the pro-life movement to bioethics to church teaching. So that's been, I think, just a challenge, but also just an opportunity for me personally to grow and learn, and I still will be. That's been one. And I think another thing, just kind of personally, is now my days are really based on reading and thinking and talking mainly about abortion, which is such a morbid topic. So learning to, goodness, hold on to hope and hold on to optimism when discussing such brutal matters. It's also been a reminder that I need to stay close to the sacraments, I will say. And I've had, in meeting with just various pro-life leaders the past few months, that's one word I've been given is get a spiritual director, stay close to the sacraments. And I, you know, we do see this from a spiritual lens as well. So I think that's absolutely important. So I'd say that's been another challenge as well.
Yeah. And the enemy's there.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is attack on life. And I can't help but think lately how much this hurts our mother, you know, who said yes to life. And it was an unexpected pregnancy herself, and she was young. And by Mary saying yes to life, she knew that she was putting herself out there to potentially be stoned to death. That was a hard yes, but she said yes. And we have the Savior of our world because of that. So I can't help but thinking spiritually on this, reflect on that. And so just really trying to stay close to Our Lady so that she's in this. And, you know, in speaking about this, though, always remembering we have truth on our side, and with that we have peace. And I'm hoping that's a peace that translates in the program, because we should not fear. We have peace. We need to walk boldly with that and speak charitably in truth.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Catherine Zeltner, host of the new EWTN show, EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. This is Register Radio on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More when we return.
Bishop Robert Barron talks about the importance of the National Catholic Register.
You know, the Register delivers something which is extremely important because you won't get it from the mainstream media, namely the Catholic context and perspective. Sometimes the mainstream media will pretend, oh, they don't have a perspective. They're just giving the news neutrally. Well, no one does that. Everyone's got a perspective. What they often bring is a sort of secularist ideology. The National Catholic Register brings a robustly Catholic take on the world, and that's indispensably important.
For a free 6-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to ncregister.com and click on the 6 free issue banner. Or call 800-421-3230 for your 6 free issues. And as you await your first issue, enjoy our online content.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register with Register Senior Editor Matthew Bunsen. And we are continuing our conversation with Catherine Zeltner, host of the new show, EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Have you heard much from those who are opposed to our work in promoting the culture of life?
You know, some, yes. You know, it's interesting because the past, you know, 4 years I've been with the Global Catholic Network. And so I, you know, when I took this job, I kind of, with EWTN a few years back, I kind of expected to get some maybe anti-Catholic remarks. I never really did. People kind of, okay, that's your religion. Cool. Stay over there. You know, you're Catholic. Okay, great. Do your thing. The pro-life issue, though, I think stirs up, in particular, a lot of strong emotions. I mean, this is probably one of the most divisive topics in our nation. So I've certainly gotten some messages in support and some messages not in support, because I think there is this fear. Can we actually change minds? Can we change policy? Can we change the culture? And that's stirring some people up, I think, in a fearful way.
Which then raises the next logical question of what are the expectations from the pro-life movement for a show like this? And you've probably been hearing from a lot of people with their own ideas.
Yes, yes. You know, one gift of the pro-life movement is that there are so many various pro-life groups and missions and visions and leaders and thinkers on this. But you also get lots of different ideas and different ways. But I think one hope is there really is no other program like this. There is no other program on television that is solely dedicated to the life issue. So we really have this opportunity to inform and educate And I think a big key role in working with the Susan B. Anthony List will be big with this as well, is giving, you know, a call to action, really engaging our viewers to here's, you know, our viewers, our base, I think are very highly motivated in being pro-life already, but giving them the tools they need to do something with that and to actually make change. And, you know, the March for Life is still kind of fresh in my mind, and seeing those streets filled with such enthusiastic and hopeful, passionate pro-lifers, such a beautiful testament to this movement. And, that's one thing we can do each year, but there's something we can be doing each and every single day. So I think that's one hope and goal, too, is let's actuate some change here. Let's take these passionate beliefs that are come from truth and use that to actually make some change.
What would one of these call to actions look like in sort of practical terms?
Right. So, for example, we had the January special that aired the same week as the March for Life. And for the one we gave there, we directed our viewers to the Susan B. Anthony List's petition to defund Planned Parenthood, which was so simple to do. It was going to a website, sba-list.org/defundpp. I still have that URL memorized. It took less than a minute to just, you know, put your name down, say, yes, I want to defund Planned Parenthood. So that's one example. I mean, I think others in the future could be call Speaker Paul Ryan and let's, you know, vocalize what we want to see with this specific piece of legislation. Maybe it's attending a defund Planned Parenthood rally at a grassroots level. But the goal, the vision is to really engage our viewers at that local grassroots level, because real change can be made there. Real impact can be made. And that's where it begins too, you know, at the local level. So that's just one example, whether it's signing petitions or calling a congressman, but taking one easy practical step that everyone can do any day of the week to really make a difference.
So is that your favorite part of the show, or what excites you the most about a typical episode?
That's one, you know, out of the feedback I've gotten, I think a lot of people have especially noted the call to action. I really liked that call to action. I've never seen that there. And I think that is a privilege that we have being with EWTN. We don't hide behind, we're pro-life. We are unapologetically pro-life. So we have the freedom to say, here's what's going on with pro-life legislation, and here's what you can do about it. Other networks don't have that kind of freedom. We do. I'd say there are two, you know, I do love each and every single segment and portion of the program, but there are two others that really stick out. One would be the expert panel discussion. So each week we will have experts on for a panel discussion where we'll delve into a different topic each week. And, you know, what that looks like will vary depending on the news that week. But it will be an opportunity to tackle a confusing question that I think pro-lifers are given all the time. Confusing question that is distorted from abortion and assisted suicide lobbyists. So people, you know, for example, won't it hurt women's health if we defund Planned Parenthood? Okay, this is the big talking point we're hearing. Let's delve into that. You know, let's take some time and to go beyond the shallow talking points and to really wrap our head around it and understand the truth. And no, actually, it won't hurt women's health. It'll benefit women's health. And for every one Planned Parenthood, there are 20 community health centers. And those kind of facts that I hope our viewers become informed. And then they feel, you know, maybe a bit more capable of talking and dialoguing with their neighbor about that. You know, they don't have to be so fearful about, what if I don't know the facts? Or what if I can't, you know, articulate my beliefs correctly? They can listen to the panel discussion, hear it, understand it, and then dialogue about it. So I'm really excited about that. And then another thing I'm excited about is the pro-life focus segment. So this will end each program with this segment where we'll spotlight whether it's an individual, a group, an initiative that is building up the culture of life. Because while there is a lot of work to be done, there is a lot of good that is already happening. And I think it's important to leave a note with that optimism and that hope, and to really show the personal stories behind these pro-life stories, really kind of introduce our viewers to different players in the movement. And I think it is through emotion, you can change hearts and get people to pause and, think differently. I mean, you look at Jesus and how he worked with parables and stories. So I'm also really excited about that.
And are you planning to engage and involve the international pro-life movement? Because this is now is a global initiative.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is you look at assisted suicide and the rising threat there. And while, yes, that's a growing threat here in the United States, it is abroad as well. Specifically, I think of Canada and the Netherlands. So keeping that global perspective, we are the universal church. We are the global Catholic network. Our eye is on that, and it's all related. And it's important to see, okay, what trends are happening here in Belgium? Why is this important? Uh-oh. Okay, we're starting to see the early signs of that here in the U.S. How can we tackle that? And if we don't, what could that potentially lead to? So it is important to keep that international eye.
Yeah. You've used the word a couple of times, optimism. I know joy is there.
Yes.
I guess as a last question, how important is it that a show like this help the pro-life movement to maintain that joy, that optimism, even in the face of what we know are going to be setbacks in the future?
I think it's crucial. You know, we have this joy and optimism because it is rooted in truth. And I think that can be translated a lot of ways. And I think it can contribute greatly to dialogue, which I think can contribute greatly to change. When speaking about abortion in particular, emotions tend to rise up really quickly. But if you maintain a peace and a joy and a love for your neighbor, that I think becomes evident. And I think people are more willing to listen. And with that, I think we can actually evangelize more greatly.
An excerpt of this interview ran in the March 19th print edition of the National Catholic Register. And the interview can also be found online at ncregister.com. The television show EWTN Pro-Life Weekly airs on EWTN television on Fridays at 11 p.m. Eastern and is encored on Sundays at 10 a.m. For much more news, analysis, and commentary on the church and the major events of the day, remember to go to ncregister.com. For my co-host Matthew Bunsen, our producer Jeff Burson, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.